Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. We have a superlative guest co-host today. Mike Glazer is here. He's a former journalist, a former aide to a fabulous Republican congressman whose name just went away.
Well, there were two of them. So.
Oh, okay, super. Yeah. All right, well, they changed to midstream.
They did.
But you did not.
Yes, all right, that's but true. I kept my job.
You stayed in the stream. So
I did.
Good for you. All right. So Mike Glazer is here. He's well known in and around the Lewisburg area. The thing that makes him the most famous is that he helped to initiate and is one of the individuals who knows how to read a woolly worm. So that's he introduced the word.
I have a feeling it's going to be my tombstone.
Oh, okay.
That's it,
a little. Well, if not, woolly worms will use it as the hibernation spot for the, you know, where they.
They're perfectly welcome.
They do their morphing. So, yeah, woolly worm Mike Glazer is with us, but he's got a lot of other things going on, not the least of which is he's the convener of a group of bipartisan, conversant, calm people who meet on Saturday mornings in Lewisburg.
And we do meet on Saturday mornings, and the name of our group is the Saturday Morning Group.
Oh.
I made that up myself.
Oh, did you? You thought
yes,
of that.
I did.
See, that's the thing. You get talented people involved, and this is what happens. You end up with Good names.
Good names,
okay.
Yes.
All right, so the Saturday Morning Group. All right, well, this is the Friday Morning Group on WKOK's On the Mark. Once a month, we do Financial Friday with the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, which means we bring in some VIPs to help with our discussion, not the least of whom is Sue Green, chair of the chamber. She is a senior learning strategist at Penn State University. She's making sure that Penn State is helping to just make as close to ideal as possible the education and background of individuals who go to their executive programs to become even smarter and better businessmen and women in our state and in the East Coast. It's continuing education primarily. And Sue Green, welcome aboard.
Well, good morning.
I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And Bob Garrett is here, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Welcome aboard, sir.
Great to be with you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. All right, jobless numbers. Let's get some reaction. We start with Bob. We'll get Sue and Mike weighing in on this, and then we're going to hear from the state chamber. Your reaction? Unemployment up a little bit, 3.6%.
I had put in my briefing paper that good numbers versus great numbers, and we have a mixed report this morning. Actually, the number of jobs created is better than what we thought it was going to be. On CBS, they said it was 90,000 jobs. The economists I was watching were saying should be about 120,000 jobs. Turned out to be 128,000. So that's not a sizzling economy, but that's very positive. We were concerned how the GM strike was going to affect
hundreds of thousands of people off the job.
Yeah, well, 48,000 specifically at GM, and then 75,000 at their suppliers, et cetera. Those kind of things really can put the national economy into a bit of a backspin. Good news is, strike's over, everybody's back to work. We'll get into our own local situation, wasn't a strike, but a plant closure, and what that means for our local numbers, which are improving. The 3.6% unemployment rate, yes, up 0.1%, but also the participation rate is actually up 0.4%. So that's actually really good news as far as we're concerned. Still bouncing along the bottom when it comes to participation in the current labor force, but good news.
All right. We'll continue to monitor that, and you can explain the local numbers and more about the national number and what that labor participation rate always means. Sue, just your general reaction to the jobless number up to 3.6% nationally.
Well, I think the 1%, I'm sorry, 0.1% difference, right? So it really not a whole lot there to talk about. I think it'll...
Splitting hairs.
Exactly. We really are splitting hairs, so okay with that.
All right. And Mike, any reaction? Do you monitor this kind of thing as well?
The question I've always had about when we get to a point in our economy that we're at now where there are a lot of people are working. There are help wanted signs up everywhere. And our just to maybe connect it to something that's not local is our the deficit, the national deficit keeps increasing. Our yearly spending outweighs our the amount of money coming in. How is that going to be sustainable when we see now we're at full employment? People are paying taxes as much as they could possibly pay at the moment, and yet our deficit keeps increasing.
And well, let me stop you there, Mike, and tell you that in a moment, Mark is going to introduce Gene Barr. And I can tell you that in the last few days, Gene has participated in an apprenticeship summit in Harrisburg. The PA Chamber has released their annual survey where they're showing that workforce is a major, major issue. The issue having to do with the deficit, we'll wrestle with that a little bit later. But okay. Maybe we can get into the workforce issues because a lot of the things that the state chamber is doing we're trying to do in a closer way here in the greater Susquehanna Valley.
That. Yeah, yep.
Right, Gene Barr is president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry. Thank you so much for calling in, Gene.
Glad to have the opportunity. Thank you.
And let's get your reaction to this national jobless number up slightly. The GM strike with over 100,000 individuals affected overall added to that number. But 128,000 new jobs. Pennsylvania's jobless rate has been steady lately. Your reaction to the employment picture right now nationally and in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to add than what your other guests have said. I mean, sometimes, as I understand it, the unemployment rate ticking up, as strange as it can be, a positive sign that is more people being energized to get back in the workforce. And as was mentioned, in fact, I think it was Bob who said it. And by the way, let me congratulate Bob on being selected as Chamber of the Year here in Pennsylvania by the Pennsylvania Association of Chamber Professionals. That's a real achievement. The labor participation rate is up a bit too, which is just as important in our view. And so, you know, clearly we look at those numbers, but we also look at long-term trends relative to workforce, and we're concerned about where the Commonwealth is headed.
All right, we'll talk more about that. Let me dwell on something you did as an aside. Now, this Chamber Award, this is a big deal. Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce 2019 Chamber of the Year by the Pennsylvania Association of Chamber Professionals. Bob, accept that award humbly, if you would, please, and then we'll get some more words from Gene.
Okay, so I don't think this is breaking news. It's been in newspapers, but really appreciate the pat on the back there, Gene, or tap on the head.
Well, you deserve it.
Well, and what's interesting, Gene, I don't know if you got to read our nomination application or not, but really why we were selected had to do with workforce and the work that we've done on siting a new community college in our area, some of the things we've done with our career basics, the pre-apprenticeships program that we've launched, the work that we're doing with our local vocational school, what we're trying to do to get people into the labor force. We continue to believe that there's a lot of people standing on the sidelines in the current labor force, those help wanted signs you were mentioning, Mike, they're on the sidelines largely because there's a skills gap. The skills that are needed by employers today, in many times, the folks who are out there looking for work don't have those skills. So what we're trying to do is create that bridge, create that mezzanine, whatever you want to call it, to make sure that that skills gap is filled. They may have gone to school, but they went to school for something that those skills aren't needed anymore. We need to inspire them to get the skills that are needed for today's jobs.
All right. And, Gene, your thoughts about the chamber being deserving of this award?
Well, look, our local chamber community is one of the most important things we do from advocacy. And as Bob mentioned, and I believe as you mentioned, the workforce issue is the number one priority of our organization. It is our number one strategic plan to try and move Pennsylvania forward. So to hear, and I was there that evening for the award, as a matter of fact, so I did hear about those reasons. I mean, it's absolutely crucial, and, you know, the work that Bob's chamber is doing is critically important. It's certainly ties in with what we're doing. I'm co-chairing the Governor's Workforce Command Center, and all of those things are crucially important for Pennsylvania, developing the skills, but also addressing what we're calling barriers, people who can't get transportation to work. Child care issues are important. Criminal justice issues are important. And I think that the word cited is exactly dead on. That is, getting people off the sidelines and back working is where we need to go with this.
How is that? How is that going? Let me say that for the last 20 years, I've worked for two U.S. congressmen, and this has always been a major issue throughout the district that I worked in, which encompassed about a quarter of the state. To train people. Let's put it that way first. The young people being trained in not only our great universities, and we have a lot of them in this state, but also the rise of the vocational training over the last 20 years, which was looked down upon 20 years ago and maybe still is looked down upon by a much smaller segment of the population. But the retraining is the problem, I think. People who are in their 40s and 50s who are looking for jobs, it's much more difficult for them to get back into the into the workforce. How do you see that? Is that occurring? Is it occurring, or do you see pushback by people of that age going, hey, I can't do this?
Well, I think that we need to take advantage of everybody. I think you're seeing more people move in now. I think you're seeing more people who might have retired either having to stay in the workforce or deciding to come back. And I think you're right. I think that this stigmatizing the trades has been longstanding. I think we're seeing some change there as people realize what it's going to cost for them to get a college degree. And as you noted, it may not be the type of skill that they need to advance themselves. I think we're seeing a bit of an awakening. But as parents, look, we've all been guilty of sitting around the kitchen table and telling our kids you're going to a four-year school. We've got to eliminate that. I've become convinced that everybody needs something after high school. That may be a 1 year, it may be a 2 year, it may be a 4 year, it may be more than four, or it may be a certificate. But people need something to say, I have been trained in this. And we've got to get people thinking more about what will work for them rather than simply going and getting a four-year degree. I'm not saying it's not important, it completely is, but we need to have more of a logical thought process about what it will take to be successful, which is what we're doing as part of this, you know, as part of the Workforce Command Center.
All right, Gene, we just have you for another moment. You have some of the same priorities as the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about the State Chamber of Commerce priorities. What do you work on the hardest from your Harrisburg perspective and statewide?
Well, as noted, our number one right now in terms of being active is our workforce development. Our members have told us that's their number one concern, so we've hired somebody to do nothing but workforce. In addition to that, of course, we are working all the things that we always have, which are tax issues, labor issues, unemployment comp, workers' comp, education, transportation. All of those things are crucially important. So we continue to do our advocacy work there, and of course, the workforce has been a major expansion for us, and as noted, many local chambers are doing this as well. And of course, Bob's was recognized for their great work and workforce, and I congratulate them on that.
All right. Well, thank you. You have an open mic here anytime. Check in again. We'd love to hear from you, not just on Financial Friday, but throughout the year as you launch these efforts and initiatives to really address these labor issues that are really, I think, in some way strangling businesses at time and economic growth. We'd love
Absolutely.
Your opinion and your check-in. So do
I'm glad to do it.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gene. Very much appreciated.
Take care. Thanks. All right. Bye.
It's Gene Barr, President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Chamber Chamber of Business and Industry, talking about, among other things, the fact that there just aren't enough skilled workers for the jobs that really would help move Pennsylvania forward economically. We'll talk more about that. Plus, we'll take a good picture and put it on Facebook of the Chamber's 2019 Chamber of the Year Award, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. And you see smiling Bob Garrett and wonderful Sue, very happy about that. So we'll be talking about that shortly. We'll open up the phone lines briefly. Then we're going to hear from one of the Technology Committee chairs of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce about their Innovation Summit. That's coming up. And we'll take your comment now. If you have a remark you'd like to add to our discussion, we're going over the jobless numbers. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right. Chris Elio could not be more timely with his announcement. He popped his head in the door and announced that the Lion Mountain School District, the Lion Mountain School District, is closed for the day. They still do not have electricity restored there, so now begins the process of getting the day underway if they were going to be able to. But Lion Mountain School District closed for the day, and power outages were the issue there. Earlier today, we had Gene Barr on the line, president and CEO of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry, talking about, among other things, the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce 2019 Chamber of the Year Award. We also talked a little bit about the jobless numbers that came out showing that the U.S. now has a 3.6% unemployment rate. That continues to skyrocket. What was it, 0.1%, right?
No, yeah.
up a tiny bit.
But we think it could be good news because the participation rate went up, right, which is... So,
we'll talk about that. One of the elements of making the jobless rate go up was thought to be the strike at General Motors, over 100,000 individuals affected, and that strike now over. So all of those folks will slowly get back to work, 128,000 new jobs created. And as you mentioned, the labor participation rate went up to 63.3%, so that's up fractionally. And that's the very definition of bouncing along the bottom, but with an upward bounce this month. So that is good news. As we continue on our Financial Friday, we have on the line Dryden Yost. You know him if you've called Contrast Communications, which is wise to do so if you have any questions about today's digital world or IT or phone systems or webs or making your digital footprint even bigger. Contrast Communications, he is a technical account manager there, making sure that individual customers that come in the door really get hooked up and wired up in every way as planned. And he's also co-chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Technology Committee. So, Dryden, thanks for calling in today.
Yep, thank you for having me, Mark.
I do appreciate that. First thing, you have an innovation summit coming up. The Chamber's working on that. It's on the 12th of this month. Tell me about that. What is the innovation summit going to focus on?
Yeah, so this all came about from a Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce survey to area businesses in the last couple years. And what they found out was the most pressing issue for local businesses was access to high-speed internet. And understandably, that makes a lot of sense. Gartner, which is a research body who studies things with technology, estimates that by 2020 there will be 20.8 billion connected devices, so more devices on the network. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to essentially establish an event that was going to bring, you know, area businesses together and really showcase where the future of internet service providers are going. as well as what some of those connected devices are and how they can help your business.
And why is it so critical? I mean, as I work in a radio station where absolutely everything is data here through the Internet and on our network, it's easy for me to see. But maybe somebody out in the community that doesn't monitor it super closely may say, why is high-speed Internet so crucial for economic development? What's that answer?
Yeah, certainly. So the main reason is it's just hard in this day and age to not have something, whether it's in your business or personal life, that you don't need high-speed internet for. Whether that's, you know, keeping information like data that you mentioned in a CRM tool, or even, you know, even phone systems today, a lot of them are run off of data. So pretty much any communication vehicle that you have in some capacity is going to be dependent on, you know, the internet. So that would probably be the main reason why I would say, you know, it's critical that people really start investing in that, just because it's already coming. There's already things that are applicable to that infrastructure, but only more and more of that is going to come through.
Dryden, this is Bob Garrett, and I'm just going to add a little bit more to what you were saying about that survey. That survey was conducted about 6 years ago, a little less than that, but we did a survey and we asked, what can we do? What can the Chamber of Commerce do to keep your business here and to grow your business right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley? We call that retention and expansion. Well, we expected to get an answer back, something having to do with build the throughway or make sure that my water and sewer works well or lower taxes or any of those typical things. We were shocked when the number one issue that came back to us was high-speed internet and broadband and high-speed internet. Well, what we started to find out was that really we were being left in the dust by our urban neighbors that have these 5G type systems. They have these very fast systems, and that for our local businesses, particularly our small businesses, to compete with those folks, we had to bring in the internet. That is where commerce is being done. That's where business is being done. I'll just mention one other survey. This was, again, was about 3 or 4 years ago. A group of graduates from a college were asked, there was about 500 students were asked, would you consider beginning your career, you know, these skilled jobs that they were all just trained to do, would you consider beginning your career in an area that did not have adequate high-speed internet and broadband? Exactly zero of the 500 of them said, yes, I would consider going there. Add to that we talk a lot about telemedicine, and you know, we have these fine hospitals and healthcare facilities in our area, and not one of them can do telemedicine unless there's broadband in all of the valley. So broadband, high-speed internet, you know, it's easy to think of it as sort of a country club issue. It is not. It is a life and death issue. It is a basic economic tool that we must have if we expect to continue to keep our economy strong.
Dryden, this is Mike Glazer. And just to probably put a period at the end of Bob's ramblings there. In my career, again, working for the government, I've dealt with a lot of people and a lot of businesses that have wanted high-speed internet and have been stymied by that. I have a personal... I work personally with a woman who moved up to Clinton County, who was a major player in business, and she moved back here because that's where her family was, and was here for 6 months and had to move back to Georgia because she couldn't do her business because she didn't have the bandwidth to do her business. Then on the flip side, I've heard an elected official here in our area just recently say we got to be very careful with broadband because if we have highly connective broadband, people from the outside are going to move in and change the dynamic of our community. And that seems to be something I heard back in the 1980s.
Well, we'll get crowded, too. Dryden, a quick reaction to that, and then we'll get your closing remark.
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, he's spot on. You see a lot of movement to urban areas, mostly because that's where all the infrastructure exists to be able to do this stuff fairly seamlessly. As Bob mentioned earlier, graduates want to go where there is an investment in technology, because you can't really go to an institution today in any major that's not talking about that. The other piece is there's just a lot more opportunities for remote workers. And in order to do that, you have to have some, you know, internet stability, because you're going to be dependent on using all those applications on your home network. And if you can't get access to, you know, trustworthy broadband, you know, that's an issue, and you're going to go to another area that can provide that.
Well, and if you have people house hunting around here, of course, location, and connectivity is the new phrase.
Right.
So you got to, nobody wants to move to a house that doesn't have any connectivity, or a dial-up if there is. I guess there's still dial-up. Yeah,
absolutely.
It still exists.
Unfortunately,
okay. It happens.
Too many places in the greater Susquehanna Valley.
All right, Dryden, thank you so much. We're going to have Bob do the reiterate the invite to the Innovation Summit coming up, but I appreciate your time. Come and visit us sometime. I think these are really critical issues. We'd love to explore them further. Thank you, Dryden.
Yep, thanks for having me, guys.
Dryden Yost, technical account manager at the wonderful Contrast Communications, who have us wired in with phones here. Co-chair of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Technology Committee. We're going to continue with Financial Friday. Bob Garrett staying, so Sue Green, and Mike Glazer's my co-host, and Chris Elios, our producer. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
Greetings and welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence. Mr. Mike Glazer is our good conservative, ultra-Republican.
Somebody just came in here with cake and said, do you want some? And Mark chased her out of here and said, put it in my office. Would not share it with us.
Well, it's...
I know where his office is.
Oh, okay.
It's oatmeal raisin granola bar cake.
That sounds good to me.
Oh, does it? Okay.
It's so good.
Okay. Chris weighs in. Turn your mic up just a little bit, Chris.
Oh, it's delicious. It's wonderful.
And there's one piece left, and it's in my office, and there it just went. I have to share it with my friends.
And
thanks
it's healthy.
A lot, Chris.
And it's healthy.
It's good for you. Yeah, Chelsea began. Chelsea
and
Davis.
Barred. Yeah, right.
Chelsea Davis brought that up, so we appreciate them. On the Mark is sponsored. Notice this is called a quick change of subject. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. And you can text us at 70236. Chris Elio, as you heard his voice, is our producer today, so we really appreciate his help and hard work. As I mentioned, Mike Glazer is here, a former aide to Congressman Peterson and G.T. Thompson, and he is just a retiree now who's super busy. We see him on the Buffalo Valley Recreation Authority Board. He helps convene that Saturday morning group of eggheads that don't argue. They discuss
the Heater
things.
Center Board?
Right, Heater Center Board. So he's very wired in. Plus, he's a fit person overall. So we just think you're a Miller Center and soon to be YMCA member, right?
Well, actually, I am now member of Planet Fitness.
Oh, Planet Fitness. Okay.
The new
That's
one in
good.
Lewisburg.
It's all right. They're an advertiser, too, so
okay.
you can say that.
All right. Okay.
You're safe.
All right.
So appreciate that. But Mike Glazer is here. Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, and Sue Green, Chair of the Chamber, are with us on our Financial Friday. We talked about the jobless numbers earlier, and we had Gene Barr from the State Chamber talking about this fabulous statewide award. Just really a superlative honor for the local chamber. Shows that you're doing what what your program of work demands, and that's addressing the big issues in the Valley. And we heard from Dryden Yost, who is a technical account manager from Contrast Communication and co-chair of the Chamber's Technology Committee on their Innovation Summit, which is on November 12th. Before we move on to some other things, we got to talk about some other stuff, but we were talking about internet connectivity. In our area, who is not connected?
Well, we've mapped that out. We had some old data that we had to get updated. Part of the Innovation Summit, by the way, Mark, will be a new strategy will come out of that as we've started to fill in the holes. When you look at the map of internet broadband coverage in the greater Susquehanna Valley, which is very similar to cell phone coverage, it looks a little bit like Swiss cheese. There's, by and large, the area is covered, but we still have some significant pockets. For example, western Union County, southern Snyder County, in the Elysburg area, there's a spot there. And we're getting all of those mapped out. Montour County has been taken care of with the innovative project that Geisinger is supporting with the Drive organization over there. But anyhow, what we're going to be doing is coming out with a new map, so you have to see where your problems are first. And then second, then what we'll do is try to make those connections to sort of, you can't get there from here sort of thing. We want to make sure everybody can get to the world from anywhere in the greater Susquehanna Valley when it comes to high-speed internet and broadband.
All right, Sue, what happens when you have one of the black spots on this map and folks aren't connected? What happens there?
I can tell you personally what happens.
Oh, dear.
As a telecommuter, we were just chatting. You know, I work from my home. I'm really lucky with working with Penn State. But on my travels over for like 7 miles, coming over Harry John's, at Harlton Way on the western part of Snyder, or Union County, excuse me, I can tell folks, if I'm on the phone, I'll call you back in 5 minutes because I'm gone. And whether it's
cell phone service, connection.
It's cell phone. But in addition, my waving on my internet at home sometimes waves in and out, and it's or slows down, whatever all that is. So it's hard. It's really hard, especially as we know that micro businesses need it.
Yeah, I'm on the end of a loop for the internet, and I notice that certain times of day it slows down. Mm. And definitely, like last night, it was raining. I guess everybody was home and on the internet, and it was
watching
slow.
Watching weather reports.
Yeah, it
sure.
was slow. Yeah.
All right. So that's what happens. And what's so bad about that? Isn't it nice to have some place where you can go where there's no connectivity? I mean, I think it's a Ford Escape commercial where they're driving around trying to find a place where there's no internet so they can relax.
Right. Well, the way I will respond to that, Mark, is to take you a little stroll down memory lane. It was Governor Pinchot who came up with a parabolic road that got the farmer out of the mud. What that created was the world's strongest economy, agricultural-based economy, and Pennsylvania benefited clearly from that. What the situation we have now is, just like Governor Pinchot got the farmer out of the mud, now rural people are you know, their doctors want to connect to them via the internet. They can't do it.
Get them out of the 20th
century.
They get
to die. Yeah. That's what they get to do. So you can always turn your device off. If you don't want the internet, don't use it. It's sort of like, you know, if you don't want to use your public water and sewer, don't go to the bathroom. That's easy enough, right? If you don't want to pay for the roads, don't drive on the roads. Hmm. The point is we need to have the infrastructure there in case we need it for the economy to save lives and to make sure that we are in the 21st century.
I just got, excuse me. People have said to me, especially older people, which I guess I am, what would say, oh, I don't use that. I don't use the internet. And I said, do you know 100 years ago people said that about telephones?
Mm. Who needs a phone? Who needs electricity?
Who needs an automobile?
Who needs pharmaceuticals?
We happen to live in the world we live in.
But, you know, I can tell you, though, those folks are impacted by the people they get services from that use the internet. So they may not personally, but it impacts them that way.
Mm-hmm. So, well, yeah. Absolutely. And if you know folks that what do they say nowadays? If you got it, a truck brought it, but the internet dealt with the logistics and the inventory and the delivery information that went from that. One of our listeners sends us a note, says, I'd like to know what the Chamber of Commerce is doing for Sunbury. Answer that first. I mean, that's an easy one for
Sunbury.
You.
Let me take that and say you're invited in about an hour and 15 minutes to a ribbon cutting at Eclipse Brewing. We're going to be celebrating their first anniversary there. We're in Sunbury pretty much every day in some way. We like to work very closely with SRI, the Sunbury Revitalization Organization. Our Vice President, Amy Buhner, is highly involved in Sunbury.
She keeps us connected.
It's not Sunbury, but just over the hill from Sunbury. Shamokin will be in Shamokin today, opening an office that'll be a shared office of CETACOG and the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. So we're in that area quite a bit.
Isn't the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce Governmental Affairs Committee meeting in the back room at Jay's Tiffany?
Oh yeah, we used to meet it there. We now meet at Marzoni's. They meet that committee meets today, 11:30 for lunch, 12 noon for the meeting at Marzoni's.
All right. What about supporting the independent community college?
Right. I'm the former president of the Susquehanna Valley Community Education Project, so it's a project that's near and dear to my personal heart, but also to the heart of the greater Susquehanna Valley. We have been over a decade. We're working on landing a independent regional community college in the area. We moved a different direction in that we now have two campuses, two centers of the Luzerne County Community College, one in Shamokin. That will celebrate its 20th anniversary next year with over 400 students now attending the Shamokin Center. The other center is the Greater Susquehanna Valley Center, which is in Watsontown. And frankly, it's there for some of the reasons we were talking about earlier, location, location, location. It literally is you come off the exit of Interstate 180, you come off the exit of Interstate 80, which in that area are the same highway. But anyhow, you come off right off that exit right into the community college. Because of the commuter nature of community colleges, the host of that, Luzerne County Community College, felt that that was the best location for their second center in the greater Susquehanna Valley. We would absolutely love to see an independent regional community college based in the heart of the greater Susquehanna Valley. We have not been able to pull that off. There's a lot of logistics to go with that, as well as regulations that go with that. We haven't been able to pull that off, but I can tell you that unequivocally, we are very, very supportive of the Lackawanna College, which opened about 3 years ago, a center in Sunbury, right on 4th Street. It's continuing to grow. I'm in touch with Phil Campbell probably once every other week or so. I can tell you they're growing in ways that are very exciting, with certificate programs, with affordable programs. So we're 100% behind Lackawanna and their growth in the Sunbury area.
Well, and this listener just implores you to do more for Sunbury's revitalization to help out there. Local jobless numbers, we see the numbers going down slightly in Snyder County, so that's good news. Snyder County no longer has the dubious designation of the highest unemployment rate in Pennsylvania. It looks like that's up in Lackawanna County now, or is that Luzerne? Yeah, that would be Luzerne, okay.
It's actually a 5.8 down there.
Somebody's laying low down there. Where's that? Huntington County, okay, yeah. Thank you. All right, so, but anyway, local jobless numbers. Bob, some reaction there. The numbers are pretty good for the most part.
They're coming back to where we expected. You know, Woodmode LLC is now open. They've picked up somewhere in 250, 300 employees. That's exciting. A lot of the former Woodmode employees have accepted positions other places or are getting training. So there's still some folks that are not back in the labor force. We're working every day with them just as well as we're working with every person person in the greater Susquehanna Valley who's looking for work and unable to find it. So that's moving the right way. The numbers went up pretty fast. They're going to come down pretty fast in Snyder County. I expect we're going to see Snyder County among the lowest 10 counties in the state by the end of the year.
All right. Chamber events. What's cooking in the greater Susquehanna Valley?
Well, we've been talking about the Innovation Summit. We want to say a few more words about that. By the way, it's November 12th. That's a Tuesday, the day
after. And non-chamber members can go.
Oh, absolutely. It is sponsored by the Geisinger. The Geisinger has been very, very generous in this regard. It's at Cherry Bistro, which is located on the west campus of the Sun Area Technical School in New Berlin. We'd love everybody to come out for that. I think we have room, Sue, for, what, 50, 60 people, maybe 75 people. We'll pack them in there for the summit. Sue has some more details. I'll let her take that on what the summit is going to entail.
I was really excited to read what's going on. I had a chance to chat with Chris about it at the chamber the other day. So basically, besides what Bob's already said, but we're going to discuss broadband and infrastructure, digital marketing, business tools, online programs, emerging technologies in the valley. And then in addition, Google's going to be there and talk about what they're doing. So there'll be a panel. We'll have a lot of, you know, cool stuff going on there. And come out and see, you know, vendor booths. Google will have, you know, again, Google Grow with Google program. And then we'll get to tour the facilities at Sun Area Tech. So, yeah, it'll be exciting.
All right, one of our listeners sends us a note, says, as I listen to your show touting the best times ever, more jobs than workers, I'm reading that the American collective college debt has reached $4 trillion, and the average credit card debt's $4,300. My question is, are all these jobs paying enough where everyone is still living on credit? Thought about that to Bob or Sue or Mike?
Self-control.
Well, and that speaks to the community colleges where the fees are so much lower, and it speaks really, well, it doesn't speak to the two satellite campuses around here. They have lower tuition, to be sure, but that certainly is, and then it calls for a community college where tuition is still lower.
Let me, my view of this, and of course it's my view and it has to be right, but what I see is education today is big business. I mean, it truly is big business. The college tuition rates have gone up much faster than the economy. Why can't colleges actually put down a list of all their majors on this list that says, this is projected what you're going to earn if you get this degree. This is what your debt is going to be. And have people choose their futures by knowing exactly what's on the menu. It's like going into a restaurant and ordering something off a menu and not knowing what the cost is going to be. This is impacting your future. I know that when I was working for Congress, we had a couple of times people calling up to ask for debt forgiveness for their loans. They were retiring. They were retiring from their jobs and still owed money on their college debt. I mean, I don't know their circumstances. I don't know if they were smart or not smart about how they handle their finances. But still, this is a reality.
Mark, Mike, I can't respond directly to the person with the debt, but I can tell you this, that what you're asking for exists. We have just recently launched, actually it was the CPWDC, the Central Pennsylvania Workforce Development Council, recently launched what's called the Path to Careers website. What that website will do, it'll show parents, students, guidance counselors, anyone who's interested in the greater Susquehanna Valley or in our central workforce area will show you, if you do this as far as training, it can result in this as far as a salary. So it's a plus B equals C sort of equation.
Is that
and it's
for
a website that, as long as you have broadband and high-speed internet,
yes.
you can access that website. It has videos in there. It's interactive. You can set up company tours.
Is this for technical training, or is this a menu for, like, if I want to be a medieval art major?
Not that there's anything wrong with medieval.
No,
right?
No. Just kind of boring. Not a lot of color in that.
Yeah. Okay. So. So I think I'll go back to what Gene said. Is there's every job today requires some amount of skill. There are really no unskilled jobs left in this economy. They're so rare that to chase after an unskilled job is just folly.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
These are jobs where you can see that to take this job, we could come up with an example, but to do this job, you should have this amount of training, this certification, this degree, whatever it takes. And if you do that and get the position, this is the salary you can expect to earn.
And it also tells you what it's going to cost you to get those certifications?
It'll give you a range.
A range, of course.
Because,
you can't be on
a certification at that institution A.
What I'm saying is that higher that 4-year university should definitely have. When you apply to a university, they should send you a menu saying, if you choose these majors, this is what it will cost you, and this is what you're going to earn.
Yeah, I would expect, particularly, I'm looking at Sue, I know Penn State University is connected to this because she's connected to it. So this is the decision support that a student, that a parent, that a guidance counselor might need about careers in the greater Susquehanna Valley. We don't get into careers in Hollywood or careers on Broadway. These are careers right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley.
Right. I can jump in real fast. You know, Gartner ranked Smeals College of Business number one in supply chain. And we have so many folks and businesses come to recruit our students because of their stature and what we can give to them. And those dollar amounts that those students are earning, I was just in a class we offered this week, and the business and industry folks that were speakers for us said, listen, we love these folks, and this is about what your range would be. You know, stay in supply chain. It's growing. It's going to be worth, its weight in gold here. So, and our academic advisors work with students all the time, just trying to give them some kind of parameters. Is there a list out there, Mike? I don't know that answer. But we sure do work with people because we're concerned.
We got a big communication luncheon on Thursday next week. I get to sit on the panel of communicators.
Yeah, that'll be great. We're looking forward to that.
That's open to the public, too.
That is also open to public at Front Street Station. All of the chamber events are open to everybody. Just let me be clear about that. Mark, you've asked that twice. So they're all open to anyone who wants to come.
Me, too.
Please.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, particularly
especially you.
Yeah, it's about communications,
I know.
Mike.
Always,
you know,
especially
about
me,
that?
Yes.
Yeah, right. But the other thing, what I wanted to mention is all of the information about our events is at gsvcc.org. If I may, Mark, I just want to mention, I touched on this briefly at 11 o'clock this morning. We're at the Eclipse Brewing Company on Market Street in Sunbury for ribbon cutting. Then first thing this afternoon at 1:30, we'll be down in Shamokin at Antioch Place. Right next door, CEDACOG is opening a Main Street office there. Saturday, on the 2nd, we'll be at the Lewisburg Children's Museum for a ribbon cutting of their new voting interactive display there. And that's for children. And it's a high-stakes election, Mike, because children will get to vote in a live election on the name of the new makerspace that'll be at the Children's Museum. It's where they can come and make widgets and gadgets and become inventors and experimenters. Also,
and when is that?
That is on Saturday at 10:30.
Tomorrow.
And that's tomorrow. Yep, Saturday at 10:30. Thank you, Mark. It's all starting to run into this whole rescheduling trick or treat really threw me off. By the way, tonight, if you're in the Harrisburg area, I'll be starring in the Spooktacular, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Oh, you're performing tonight.
Sweeney Todd.
Are you
singing?
I'm the Undertaker. Really. Oh, yes, okay. I am singing. So low, you'll never hear me. But yes, I'll be singing. Then next week, on the 4th, that is Monday, is the Central Region 911 Center ribbon cutting. That's at 3 o'clock. That's in Snyder County in Penn Township, out 522. Then on the 7th is the Buffalo Valley Recreational Authority Nature Preschool ribbon cutting. That'll be at 12 noon.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all these updates. GSVCC.org, their contact information. If you're in one of the areas without internet, drive to Shamokin Dam and tell them to get you guys connected ASAP.
Wire me up.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Sue. Always a pleasure
Excellent.
To have you here.
Thanks so much
for coming in. We're going to have open phone shortly here on WDKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here. Mike Glazer is my good conservative co-host, and Chris Elio, who is probably a little bit liberal. I heard him on the talk show earlier this week. All right, so he's flamingly liberal, but super informed and just a super guy to have as a substitute when I'm not around.
Yeah, he's scary. He knows his stuff.
Right, he's our producer. Yeah, he lays low. You know, he's got that big beard, and he always wears a hoodie, and you probably think, well, he's not paying attention to politics, but oh, no, he's got the deep knowledge, so he can trick you. So we appreciate that. And we appreciate him coming on board. Power-wise, we are talking about some electrical outages that continue in the valley. We still have about 300 people out in Snyder County, about 300 in Union County. Still, the number in Northumberland County is down. It's down to just over 1,700, but it was over 1,800 earlier. So PPO is trying to get everybody else connected back to the electricity as soon as possible. They have one outage that's about 1,000 people in Northumberland County. So as soon as they get that big one down, done in the Herndon area, that will reconnect a lot of people right away. Lion Mountain School District has closed for the day. They started out with a delay because of the power outage, but as I mentioned, it's lingering. So the high school and the middle school were on three-hour delays earlier. Now the whole district is listed as a closure. Southern Columbia School District has not updated their initial closure, which was a three-hour delay, and that is still listed as a three-hour delay. So no change there. Roads closed. We don't have any roads listed as closed by PennDOT in Snyder, Union, or Northumberland County. Lycoming and Columbia County have roads closed, and we do have that list at WKOK.com. 522 in the Middleburg area was blocked overnight, and so a section of Route 35 was flooded for a time, but all of those areas are now open. So that's a quick glance at some of the news headlines. Dale, call us immediately. You tried to get through the chamber. We had to expedite things, so we didn't get to your question, but we appreciate your effort. Welcome aboard, Mike.
Good morning.
Are you a big impeach him now or don't impeach him, or this is a sham? We hear Fred Keller saying the whole thing's an unfair sham.
I tend to agree with being a sham, but maybe not in the same way. I do think that, of course, impeachment is completely political, but with the temperature, the temperament of our society today, this has become a them or us situation. Back when President Nixon was under the scrutiny of impeachment, which he was not impeached, he resigned. The House voted 400, more than 400 votes were cast to start the impeachment hearings. That means Democrats and Republicans. It was totally bipartisan. Even under Bill Clinton, there were 40 Republican votes, Democratic votes to start the impeachment hearings. Today, I believe there were only two Republicans who voted
to do the same.
So what we're looking at here is something that's completely political. It's under the maybe the thought process has gotten to the point where you don't have to think. You just have to say which side you're on. I've had a big problem over the years trying to decide what's right and what's wrong. It's bothered me personally because I am a conservative. But what is a conservative? I believe in small government. I believe in living within your means. I believe in international alliances, strong international alliances with our friends. And I'm beginning to see under our president now, who I think is doing a lot more positive stuff than he's given he's given credit for. He is his worst enemy. But I see things with the international, and it bothers me internationally that our allies don't know what to make of him.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll take your opinions. We have an email that relates to this. We'll read that on the air. Dale's been pretty darn patient today, so thank you, Dale. Thanks for calling back. You're on the mark.
Yeah, I just trying to find the calculator, which is adding up the math with these economics. You know, basically, we're as a nation about 80% of taxpayer subsidized workforce, almost. Okay, so that means the camels are cutting a lot of straw. Now, I mean, the whole thing is, I mean, I know Bob is doing a good job for the area, for the tools he's given. But I just say, if we ain't going to start taxing these corporations and, you know, putting a cap on state jobs, I mean, the federal level, I mean, that's another thing. But the only way that they're sustaining the payroll for these subsidized state jobs is asking the federal government for infrastructure loans, okay? Because that's where if you follow the money and you understand the economics part of it, we're going to be asking for infrastructure loans from the federal government for the next 100 years. We don't figure something up. And I just can't either figure it out either because China, you know, they'll make stuff pennies on a dollar from us. So I think we need to put a cap or moratorium on the taxpayer, you know, taxpayer-funded jobs, because we're just borrowing off our grandkids' money to create jobs.
In Washington,
you know,
sure.
I mean, I don't understand how I can't find a calculator that makes any sense. You know,
I think that. Dale, it's Mike Glazer. I understand. I was one of those guys who was paid by the taxpayers. And thank you for paying my salary for 20 years.
A handsome salary, I might add.
Oh, yes. I mean, I just live in luxury with my 2,000.
That's very big in court. That's very big. So thank you.
Yeah, my 2007 Camry with 360,000 miles on it.
You know, you can repaint vehicles. Just an FYI.
Oh, it looks good.
Well, you got humility. That's great.
Yeah, well, I have humility and a wife that doesn't want to spend money. But I see a larger problem with this, and I understand what you're saying about government jobs. If you looked at, we have a much larger population in this country that keeps growing slowly, but it keeps growing, and we need to find more and more places for people to work. And the government employs people, the private sector employs people. I don't think we should condemn any of the segments of our population that do work. I know I worked with a lot of people in government that worked very hard.
I don't condemn anyone.
Not me. Not me, but other people work very hard. We have to find a job base, a sustainable job base, or else we are, some of the Democratic candidates, or one of them in particular, is saying that we have to have each family should get a certain amount of money every year to live off of. I don't see that as a real answer to the question, but people work hard no matter where they're working.
All right. Dale, we'll give you the last word. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I don't shame anyone personally. Never do. Never should I. But I would just say the subsidized workforce, okay, are being more aggressive today. They are asking for raises. I mean, they are asking for bigger budgets. So I don't know if they lost concept of where the actual money's coming from.
All right.
Like I said, the subsidized workforce is being very, very aggressive.
All right. Thank you so much, Dale. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565. It's Financial Friday. We talked about the jobless numbers. Internet connectivity still lacking in some parts of our area. I know of one local farm family that still uses dial-up to get on the Internet. So we do know that there are some folks. So if you send them a Facebook message, they will reply in the weeks ahead. And
yeah.
You get that information from them. But we'll take more comers. One of our listeners says two wise Democrats voted against impeachment, and every Republican voted against the continued coup attempt. Yeah, I have said this in the past. I'll repeat it. I know what the president did is definitely wrong. I think morally he's bankrupt, and that's another topic. But is it impeachable? That just seems like a bridge too far for me. But that's just my opinion. I would love more comers. 1-800-795-9565. Another note from a listener says yesterday. Today's vote proved once again just what the Republicans are, lying, corrupt, crybabies, and hypocrites. After crying for weeks that the Democrats were being unfair by holding closed meetings that were, by the way, open to 48 Republicans if they chose to go, they voted 100% against holding public impeachment hearings, releasing interview transcripts, letting Americans hear directly from witnesses. Hypocrisy at the highest level. Will they stoop lower? You can count on it. Fred Keller needs to stay in the shadows and stop his attempts at starring on Broadway. His proposals or right-wing rhetoric had a zero chance of being considered. Fred's powerless, and I hope it remains that way. Fred is nothing but an apple polisher for President Trump. Sad! Exclamation point. Reported transcript is a memorandum. So on page one, it's backed up by multiple witnesses. I suggest doubters check it out. Twist away, Ben. Well, Ben didn't make it, but Mike is here, and he's twisting today. Twisting in the wind.
I think the reaction here of Tom is significant in the respect that, as you had said, I have this group. I'm a member of this group on Saturday mornings with liberals and conservatives, and Tom would not be a part of it with these capital words there yelling at us. But this is what's going on right now. We're yelling at each other. And I agree. I don't know whether what the president did as far as this Ukrainian thing, and we'll find out, but is impeachable. But impeachment is vague anyway. What I think is interesting is I definitely agree. I definitely think that the Democrats are doing this because we have an election year coming up, and the thing is, it might bite them in the backside.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I mean, I think it might.
Yeah, it might back down. Sure. Unless we find out, and I tell you right now, they're going to open up the hearings. They're going to be public because they have to be. And even the president is invited to sit in on them. I think Andrew Johnson might have done that, but I could see Donald Trump coming down and sitting there and listening to this. This distracts us from so much of the important things that goes on.
Oh, no, they're doing health care in the background. And
National
Internet, they're talking about that.
No. And this attack on Fred Keller, and I know Fred. Fred is a friend of mine. Fred's a good guy, and I understand Tom's reaction, but it's completely political. I have an insight into what happens in Congress, and you're elected to represent your district. Fred is representing his district, but also, unfortunately, the way the game is played, you're on a team. And this has always been the case.
This is how teams talk.
You go down there and you say, hey, I need to represent my people. And the leadership goes, we understand. And if you play the game with us, we'll play the game with you. This is human nature. This is the way systems are set up. If you go down there and represent something other than what you have been elected for, you're not in office for very long, and you can't get anything done. My old boss, Glenn Thompson, used to say, Nancy Pelosi is a great congresswoman from San Francisco. She'd be a terrible congressperson from central Pennsylvania. You represent who you represent. Fred's representing our people.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Chris, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that the defense people defending Trump, the Republicans in Congress, are acting at least as much, if not more politically, than the Democrats are. And so it's not just one side we're talking about there. But more to the point, I'd like to ask Mike what he thinks. Hi, Mike, by the way.
Good morning.
You remember me?
Yes.
Are your parents still doing okay?
Well, yeah, they are. They've been dead for 20 years, but I guess they're doing okay.
I was afraid of that.
Yeah, that's, they'd be 120 years old now, so.
Oh, would they? I didn't think they were that old.
Yeah, so.
They've gone to Valhalla.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's just assume for the moment that Trump did what it seems to be obvious to me as a liberal, is that he tried to manipulate Ukraine with the threat of government of the aid to announce publicly that they were investigating Hunter Biden.
Yes.
Which he includes Joe for some reason, even though there's very little evidence that Joe did anything but what the American government wanted him to do at the time, and the Europeans. And that he perhaps also did this with China, because there's some things that indicate that he was trying to dig up dirt on Biden in China, too, and one of his representatives was given a report on Biden by the Chinese, apparently, and that he was also dispatching a second State Department front with Rudy and them, making more explicit threats about the aid to Ukraine. And you don't think that's impeachable? Is that clear? If he actually did all those things, and it turns out that the testimony confirms that, you wouldn't think that was impeachable.
I'd have to hear the testimony, but the way you lay it out, I don't know. I don't know what is impeachable.
Using foreign aid as president to manipulate an election.
Is that a high crime?
I know it's morally wrong. As high as it gets, because that was one of the things they were specifically worried about in the Federalist Papers was the president trying to use foreigners to manipulate the election.
All right, Chris, stand by. I have to take a break to stay on schedule, but we're going to let you continue. Mike's going to continue with his response. So, Chris, you hold on. We'll take more comers on the line, 1-800-795-9565. We have one text that I think Chris just answered the question. Mark, it says, Mark, please tell us exactly what the president did to have the Democrats attempt to remove him from office. I want specifics, not feelings. Well, I have a feeling that if you sell government aid to the Ukraine in exchange for investigating your political opponents, it is wrong. But we'll find out if it's a law violation in the weeks and months ahead, and then we'll see if the Senate buys in. I hope that helps. Stan, there's been a lot of talk about this, but I do not know if it's impeachable. I know it's wrong, but you know, this particular president doing something wrong just means it's a Friday. So, you know, is it criminally wrong? We're going to find out. Stand by. We shall return.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, the Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln cars and trucks. Plus, they have hundreds of pre-owned vehicles that are in perfect condition with low miles. And I know they're all shined up because as soon as the rain stopped, they started shining them up again down there to make sure they're good to go. They also have the Quick Lane and the Truck Bay there, a premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks. They are a master towing service. In order to be a master towing service, you have to have decades of experience moving cars from one point to another without any damage. And they do that. They got the car wash, the alignment shop, the body shop. They got a parts department, and they can pump you up with nitrogen. They got it all going on. And the Sunbury Motor Company, please check them out at sunburymotors.com. We would very much like to hear from you. Chris, you get another moment, and then we're going to turn the mic over to Mike. But please, go right ahead.
Well, I was asking him, if you assume that all that is fairly well proven, which I think it seems to be so far, but you haven't heard the real testimony yet, so I'll hedge on that. But just assume that it is, and find a way that that's not impeachable. I would also point out that he also made that phone call where he did it personally himself and not just through Rudy the day after Mueller's testimony before Congress, where he thought he'd made it off the hook on anything there. And he's just going to keep going. If he gets away with one thing, like the emoluments clause, he keeps pushing it and pushing it as far as he can. And he's doing the same with this election interference.
Well, if Chris, and if he is pushing it.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
And if he is pushing it and pushing it, you have to push against something. And the Democrats are on the other side resisting. This is a tug of war. And what good is it for our country at all on either side? That's all I mean, I'm at a loss on this. I am really at a loss on this. I listened to it with my mouth agape saying, what is going on here? We're trying to run a country. We're not trying to have a soccer game.
All right, Chris is gone. We'll give you an open mic. You're not convinced that these are impeachable offenses, or you're convinced that they are not impeachable offenses?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I have an open mind, and I think that's what we're lacking here, is in general an open mind instead of taking sides. But I want to bring up something, something completely different.
You have a minute. Go right
ahead. I have a minute. We have new election laws here in the state that have become much more liberal, and one of them is I am totally confused about. They are expanding the time for absentee ballots, so that you could now cast an absentee ballot up until, I think, the day before the election rather than the Friday before
the
election.
Right, they ease the rules that relate to absentee ballots.
But they also are allowing people to vote in a 50-day window. by mail, I believe.
Okay.
So what is, why do you need an absentee ballot if you have a 50?
At all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question.
What, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I think a 50-day window to vote is horrible, because if you vote 50 days before the election, how do you know what you're voting about as things change? The liberalization of this law is stupid. Oh, I use the word. Steve Kuchelov said I shouldn't use the word stupid.
Well, you don't call our listeners stupid.
No. The law is stupid.
Right. Yeah, the law is stupid. Yeah. That's fine. But the Republicans passed it, and the Democratic governor signed it. So.
Yes, yes.
All right. Well, David Rowe is going to be coming in the weeks and months ahead, so we will ask him that question, since these laws are now on the book, on the books. So maybe you'll be the co-host that day. You just never know.
David's a good guy. I like
him. Yeah, so... Thank you so much, Mike Glaser, former aide to Congressman John Peterson, who was the most morally upright leader in Washington, D.C. in his day.
Okay. And
okay. Well, yeah, thanks for the hesitation. You just burst my bubble. Thanks
yes,
a lot.
Yes.
All right. And thank you. And G.T. Thompson, of course,
good
when,
guys,
when
good
you retired.
Guys, yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Please say hi to Kara, who I spoke to very briefly yesterday, but I was glad to hear from.
Yes, I will.
Appreciate that. And special thanks to Chris Elio, who are keeping the buttons going and the callers on the air today. And despite the fact that his blood pressure went up, he just kept pushing buttons and didn't crack the mic. So that's hard for him to do sometimes.
Good for you, Chris.
You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.